On the field, winning comes from hard work, care, and preparation. I learned that that same hard work doesn't stop when we exit the arena. Your care is our commitment, and preparation is our promise. We tackle challenges head on and turn dreams into reality, which is why I'm excited to join the team at Alcova Mortgage, where we help you score the perfect home.
Saver Podcast Network, presented in part by Joe Reed and Alcova Mortgage. Scoring your perfect home today. If you haven't noticed, we're in person. We're here. I got a really special guest today, but our first in-person podcast here in Who's On Podcast. And what a better guest to do it with than an All-American, Sixth Man of the Year, ACC, ACC champion, just an all-time ACC or UVA fan favorite, Justin Anderson. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, Preston. Thank you for having me.
I'm glad you can do it.
Appreciate it.
We've been talking about this for a while, and you know, who better to have the first in-person podcast than with you, Justin?
So well, that's awesome.
Appreciate you coming over. You got to come back to JPJ. It's probably been a little bit. What does it feel like when you walk back into this building right now?
Yeah. It was good to see the courts down. They had the two courts down, and seeing it just the moments of the summertime that I remember immediately. My freshman year, coming to play pickup, being nervous out there. Jontel Evans was the lead guard going into a senior year campaign and just trying to make sure that I fit in. I was good enough, you know what I'm saying? So it was cool to walk back in and see that right away, and then started to see some familiar faces that are still around, and then quickly saw some new faces. And it's been really cool to get to know Coach Odom and his staff, and seeing how they're taking care of the place. The Hall of Fame area is very beautiful, prestigious, of course. And it's just the history that, you know, you can feel as soon as you walk in the building. And I'm glad that I was able to be a part of that, honestly.
You say you saw some familiar faces, but I know there's a lot of new faces, like you just said.
Yeah.
Does it feel different walking in here without, you know, Tony being in his office,
yeah,
or, you know, Ron Sanchez being around the building, or,
yeah,
you know, whoever it could be?
Yeah.
There's a couple of guys here still, but, you know, is it different?
It does. I've been preparing myself for this moment for a while now. Being able to have the relationship that I'm fortunate to have with Coach Bennett, even years, 10 years after, or however long it's been, I say 10, but yeah, about 10 years
10
after
years, yeah,
being here, I've been able to have a very strong relationship with him throughout. I've known that, you know, he's had his battles with coaching as long as he's coached, and just wanting to be with his family and be able to practice what he preaches to us every day. I know he was doing it when he was coaching, but I think he gets to super do it now. I think he's able to be around his family more, see his family, his parents. And so I've been preparing for this. I knew it would come. I even asked some teammates of mine that are at colleges. A name that comes to mind is my friend Brandon Knight, who I trained with down in South Florida, a really good friend of mine. Obviously, that was difficult for Coach Cal leaving Kentucky as well. And I said, are you going to go to Arkansas and cheer him on? He's like, of course, I always got Cal's back. But Kentucky is a special place. That's a place that I went from a boy to a man. And I said, you know what, that's exactly how I feel. So familiar faces, Ronnie Wyman, Eric Bacher, obviously, who helped set us up here. And, just being able to see some of the staff that have been working around here and saying hello, and they recognize you, it's been nice.
What's that reach out been like? Because that's been a big thing that I know Ryan's tried to do. He's tried to get a lot of alumni in here. You got to go to practice a couple times. What is that kind of reach out and communication been like with the new staff?
Yeah, I think it's inevitable a little bit, right? I mean, I don't think Coach Bennett, I don't know if people had the expectation for him to walk him down the sidelines with a cane, right? I think, I mean, the way he lives his life, I mean, he's a really cool dude. I think Charlottesville has been able to experience that. So it's just been nice to be able to see the business a little bit, right? Like who's next, right? Who's going to step up and take this program to another level? And just talking to Coach Odom and the places that he's been, VCU as of late, and the culture that they have at VCU that he's able to push forward from back when I remember Shaka being there, right? And he's had a couple of coaches in between. This is something that it doesn't seem like it's new for him. He seems very confident. He's a connector, right? There's a lot of people who, from talking to him in a little bit of time I got to know him, there's a lot of people who he knows. And then him coming back to Charlottesville, that he's like connecting places and generations that maybe Coach Bennett wasn't able to do, being from Wisconsin and being focused on, you know, sure, building a brand and building a program. So no two men are alike. Coach Odom is a special person. He's treated me with class, a lot of respect. for everything that I've done and who I am as a man. I feel the same way about him and just getting to know him more. But you know, it's a part of the business, and I think it's really cool for us to see something new.
You got to talk to the team a little bit. You got to see them play. Just initial thoughts. It's very early. It's still the summer.
What do you think? Yeah, I think they're a really good team. I think there's some analytics out on them being a really good high-paced offense team. I think it's going to be high octane. They have some guys that I'm really impressed with. You know, the person that I'm really personally vested in is Chance Mallory, obviously. Just the history of me knowing him since he was very young. Came to a couple of my basketball camps. Worked out with him a couple of times. Worked out with him while I'm here. It's not to pick favorites at all. It's just I have a special connection with him, his dad, Joe, mom, and sisters. So, you know, I think the biggest thing for me is just following these guys and allowing them to put their own blueprint on the school. I don't think there's a standard that I want to set. I just want to make sure that they leave it in a better place. And that was kind of my message to them. After practice, Coach Odom allowed me to talk. Caught off guard a little bit, but it was just something that told me, just leave it better than how you found it. And that's in everything that you do. And so was impressed with a few of the young guys. I think his name's Cam. He's a transfer. He has a really good body, really good size. And he's a wing. He's a three. So it was really good to see him, you know, play. I like the point guards, the two transfers. The kid from BYU, I think, is Dalen. And then the other kid is from L.A. I'm drawing a blank on his name. What's his name from L.A.? Malik.
Malik,
he's from San Francisco. So, just watching those guys lead the team, and it's been a joy to watch. I think they'll be a good team.
Yeah, it's looking good on paper and everything. You mentioned Chance, and there's a picture floating around. I think he was even shorter, you know,
for sure.
3 feet tall. But like I remember watching him since he was in eighth grade, you know, mm-hmm. stabbed just across the street mm-hmm. and stuff. Mm-hmm. What's that relationship like with him?
I don't want to say little brother, because. You know, a little brother is like, it's a little too personal. You know, I think it's more of him looking at me being in this area, being in Charlottesville at a pivotal time in his life for him to want to make a decision to be a basketball player. He used to walk behind the benches, you know, during the game with his pop. And, you know, and everybody knew it was Chance at a young age. And one of the things that I always try to shy away from is putting too much pressure on him as a child prodigy. Like I said, he came to my camp and he destroyed everybody in Fredericksburg, Virginia, where I held my Just a Chance basketball camps. And everybody was like, who is this kid? And I was like, one day you'll find out. One day you'll know. But we see a lot of times kids who start off really well and they kind of fizzle out because of the outside noise and because of the distractions. And the thing about Chance that I love the most is he's never let those things kind of come in the way of who he wants to be and where he wants to go. Doing it on the football field when he was in high school, doing it on a basketball court. And he's the smallest one out there, and he's got the biggest heart. So it's really cool to be able to allow him to do his journey without trying to be attached to it and enjoy it for what it is. So he's a special kid to me for sure.
Were you watching when he was committing? I know you were overseas in Barcelona, but were you able to tune into that?
I did. I stayed up for it. Yeah, I did. At the Stab Gym, his family was there. I think he did a really good job, and Damon did a really good job of you know, coaching him through his years and putting on something to allow this community to be very proud of a kid like that, and he deserved it.
Speaking of Barcelona, you had a chance to play another now Cavalier in Tess de Ritter, which we just found out it's pronounced Tess and not Tice. That's something Ryan let us know. What did you think of him? Did you get to know him a little bit? I know you did a little jersey swap after the game, but what do you think about Tess?
Yeah, so I saw Tess actually 2 years ago. I was playing in a small city, Lugo, Spain, when I first went to Europe for my first experience. We played against him, and I was like, this guy's a machine. He's like like Schwarzenegger in like one of those movies, you know? And the way that he was just moving guys out of the way for offensive rebounds and getting finishes, it was like he was a focal point for his team, Bilbao, to make sure we box him out and match his energy. And so when I saw that, I was like, man, he's good. But I didn't think anything about America. I was just like, Spanish basketball is very high level. And so the following year, obviously playing in Barcelona, there was some like buzz around him possibly coming and playing at Virginia. I know there's some stuff that you can talk about. You can't talk about things that he had to get cleared for. And I was only able to see that not through Coach Odom, but through X and all of our new newspapers, I should say, our phone newspapers. But it was like maybe 2 weeks before the game that I saw he was really considering coming here. And I said, I got to say something to him, because if we get a chance to get him, I know he's going to help take our program to another level, no matter who's here, no matter who's around him, because I just paid attention to how he moved the last couple of years playing him. So during the game, I told him, I said, you know, before the jump ball, I said, that's Jabari Parker, and he's about to kill you tonight. But after this game, anything that you need in Charlottesville, you let me know. And he had a laugh, and that was my first interaction with him. So I was glad that, one, he understood me, because in Spain, sometimes they don't understand. Yeah. And then after that, I recognized that, like, he was, you know, he was having fun with the whole experience, and he knew that I went to UVA because of how he reacted. I figured, like, all right, cool, he gets it. So we played, and you know, I was giving him advice during the game and, you know, just keeping it light. And I told him after the game, I said, I got to have the jersey. I said, if you go to UVA, like, I want to be able to have this jersey to say that I remember when you played here and you came here, and he's going to have a great career here for sure.
And you still got it.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
What? How would you say, I mean, you played in the Spanish League and you've obviously played in the ACC. How would you say kind of they compare, and how do you think he's going to do transitioning to UVA?
He's going to be just fine. I mean, you don't want to put too much expectation and a lot of pressure on a kid like that. Obviously, because he's playing in the ACB, everybody's able to go watch his film of who he's playing against. I mentioned the name of Jabari Parker, who played when I was here at UVA, and you know, he's played high level basketball. Talking to him, he recognizes that a lot of people had this expectation of him, and one of his responses immediately was like, you know, I hope I do well. Like, I hope I live up to that, right? And I said that right there. Keep that. And it's going to take you a long way, especially in a community like this. That's we have change in the program, and we're behind Coach Odom, and we're going to follow whatever he does, right? But this building has experienced something that is kind of deep rooted in it, and that's those pillars that Coach Bennett talked about. And so when I heard that humility come from him, the city has kind of embraced those pillars and embraced the history of how we've been doing it. I know that the natural energy of having that type of mindset is going to help a player like him have success, and I know he will.
Yeah, you talk about the humility. I think, you know, obviously it's not Tony Bennett, but the five pillars, you know, are still kind of ingrained in who Virginia basketball is and everything.
Yeah.
Let's go back to your career here.
Yeah.
While we're sitting here, while we've got, you know, the ACC championship trophy sitting back there, got the right national there. Championship.
Yep. And
got
of all course, this. The big dog.
Yeah. Yep. Let's go back to the very beginning, because, I mean, everyone knows you were originally committed to Maryland. Gary Williams retires. You end up at Virginia. Do you go back to that what if sometimes?
I don't. I probably should. I think you're taking me there right now. I don't, because I have some really good friends, Alex Lynn, Seth Allen, those guys who went there, and we had some great duels, and I'm able to really talk a lot of smack about beating them. And then, like, but because they know my career here was really good as far as a team and collectively, they get to the point where they're like, well, you're supposed to be with us anyway, right? And so it's like, all right, like, I'll chill out. But, you know, Gary Williams was a special coach. He was, you know, I remember going to a practice and watching him chew out the whole entire team. And I said, yeah, that's where I want to be. It's crazy that I actually went opposite of that for who I decided to go play for, who he's going to get after you. But the choice of the worst selection and things like that is not going to be like Gary. You know, Gary was different. And he was doing that with a neck brace. So this guy is just different. He was going to get the most out of you in a different way. But yeah, like when I committed to Maryland, I was, you know, fully committed. Graves Vasquez went to Montrose Christian, the same school that I played high school at. And that was a connection, being close to my high school in Maryland, Rockville, Maryland. So it made sense for me. But when I had to decommit and I called Gary, I knew that this was a close second, because Jason Williford was coming to a lot of our practices in high school, and he was recruiting me. He was like, yo, come give us a chance. He's like, I know you will have a great career. And you'll be able to do it for your state. When he said that, it rung a little bit different than doing it for Maryland. So I know DMV is all one, or however you want to call it, but you know, it feels a lot different being able to play in the state that I grew up.
I do want to stop on that, because that's another good point, especially talking about Chance too, a guy that not just his state but his city too.
Yeah.
How special is that? Because I know I heard, you know, you talk to the team, and you know, you say you got a tattoo on yourself.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
How much do you think that means, being an in-state guy playing locally? We've seen Ryan Odom start to target some more guys that are in the state.
I think it means more when you're finished. I think in the moment, I think you can't relish on that. You can't think about that. You're going to have moments where you are able to have familiar faces come to games. I had middle school teachers coming down to Charlottesville and catching a game, best friends from growing up being able to come down and catch a game. And when those things happen, it's awesome, right? But you don't want to just kind of dwell on that. You want to be able to get to the end of your career and be able to look back and say, like, I think I made my state proud. And in Chance's case, I think I made the city proud. I think I took it to a new level. So once again, I think it's a level of focus, a level of humility that you have to have. And it's also a great level of responsibility, right? Like, you take it a little bit more personal, you know, if you lose a game and things like that, because you want to make sure that you keep this place at a high standard and keep this place, you know, at a different level. So You know, I think it's something that I look back on now more than I definitely thought about it when I was playing.
Going to your second year, that's obviously the sixth man of the year. Y'all, you know, had a pretty good season that year winning the ACC championship. Yep. What made, and that was kind of the breakthrough moment for the program when you kind of go back, you know, that national championship trophy sitting behind us doesn't happen if, you know, y'all don't go through all that stuff beforehand. What made that team so special that year in 2014?
Unbelievable level of sacrifice. We all knew that we had the talent. We were able to get some key pieces, transferring Anthony Gill, myself, Mike Toby, Evan Nolte coming in all together. We had a young point guard coming from California, a young kid from Virginia, with London Perantes and Devin Hall coming in at the same time. You know, we were really well built, and we were able to be good examples to the newcomers, to the young guys, but they were also very mature and they led in their own ways. And that's kind of rare when you're a freshman point guard like London and was able to run the show. And Devin turned out to be an unbelievable player as well here. And he's doing great things in Europe, just won a EuroLeague championship. So, you know, I think that being a breakthrough is a good way to phrase it. Because, you know, I think we had to go through the whole, if we give of ourselves and we do it for each other, then we all can go further. And I think once we got the opportunity to go further and get drafted and playing in the NBA, and some of these young recruits are seeing that, then I think the likes of Ty Jerome, Kyle Guy, DeAndre Hunter, they're like, okay, I'm cool with going there because I like talking to the coach. But they also got guys that they're putting in the league, and they're dealing with us. These are guys that we were having phone conversations with whenever they came to campus for their visits. We're making sure that they're straight. We're making sure that they have a good time seeing how prestigious it is, but how much fun it is here in Charlottesville. So it's been a good marker for how to recruit and things like that, because I think the most important thing is your veterans and the guys who kind of showed the way. So I think that was a breakthrough for a lot of different reasons, but most importantly because we were able to give of ourselves. Like we had to go through Duke, North Carolina, all of these like big time programs and things like that, and you know, all of this history in the ACC, and we were able to come out on top of that a couple years in a row. So I think that confidence kind of pushed everybody forward of this is the standard, this is a new expectation.
Is there a moment, I guess, along that run, some people threw out to me, obviously the Syracuse game, you've got
at home.
Yeah, yeah. That one was nuts. The atmosphere and everything going on with that. Someone just threw out the triple block with
me,
you.
DA and AG. That was fire.
Against Pitt
that was fire.
ACC.
That was fire. Yeah.
Which ones stick out to you?
Those two for sure. The triple block was crazy. I believe that was it Pitt?
It was Pitt in the semifinals.
Yeah, and that Syracuse game was good because Syracuse, they had that zone, and we were preparing for that zone, and we were at a place in our season where we were winning games, but you had to go and beat a team that was really good and try to stay consistent, stay connected. And it was a night game. And I remember like one of the biggest moments, the biggest highlights was like we punished them. Like we imposed our will. We did it the right way. We're knocking down threes, moving the ball, catching alley-oops. But the biggest moment of that game was the Thomas Rogers three. That was the moment that it all came together of like, yeah, you guys finally all get to see how connected we are. You guys get to see the brand of basketball and the guys that put us in position to be as good, because they will put on those green jerseys, put on those blue arms, and they would beat us to death in practice. And Coach Bennett gave them all of the green light to do it. So, you know, those are cool moments. A couple of the alley-oops from London personally, those were fun. Like the Virginia Tech one was crazy. Doing anything you do over there and you come out with a win is big time. So it was a lot of moments during that run that you know, if I were to sit down and watch a full video, I mean, I would smile the entire time because the way that we did it and how we did it together.
Looking at the next year, obviously, you know, you get bumped up. You went through a big transformation that offseason to be able to come back and shoot the way that you did.
Yeah.
What was that whole process like to kind of set you up for what was really your best year in a uniform?
Yeah, I think it's natural growth, right? I followed it up with going to the NBA and maybe not shooting the same percentage right away, but I ended up figuring that out as well. But I think it's just a natural growth. I feel like I'm 31 now, 10 years removed from college basketball, which is crazy. But I still like I'm in the best years of my life. I feel like I'm better than I ever been. So when I am dealing with that now, it makes sense why I came back that offseason, you know, with a better work ethic. I credited, you know, well documented that I was spent some time with my cousin who's a Super Bowl champion with the New Orleans Saints. I was in Chicago with him where he was playing during that time. I just understood how to live and learn like a pro, live and think like a pro and work like one as well. So I took a lot of, you know, things out of his book and put in the work. Obviously, Coach Bennett and his drills helped out a lot. We did a lot of shooting drills. We talked about that just recently when we got the chance to sit down and talk. I mean, the shooting drills and a lot of things that we did that were very tedious and detailed that he would be at home studying those videos and trying to figure out different ways to help us improve. And he sure did help me with that as well. So I think it was just the constant growth and the mindset of not settling, not being comfortable. And I think college is made for that.
Yeah. I mean, I look back at your career. There's a lot of different turning points, what ifs and stuff. And I guess we got to go to the end of that season mm-hmm. with the broken finger, the appendicitis, back to back. Like, how deep, like, that's got to come to your mind, just like how unlucky you could be that all that happens.
Yeah, for sure. And then I also have a faith, so God works in mysterious ways. But the broken finger against Louisville was, I believe it happened after a big time lob that London threw. He threw a full court lob. I dunked it. I think it was like Mango Matthew or something like that, if I'm pronouncing his name right. But then later in that game, you think, because they're highly rated as well, you think that, like, if we win this game, like, this is going to keep pushing us to the top. We were chasing Kentucky that year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And they had a really good team. Maybe they ended up winning the championship, or maybe Duke beat them. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But, the appendicitis, the broken finger, that game were definitely things that – I remember that's when everything kind of shifted for me from a college athlete to a professional athlete. There were a lot of people who were saying, what are you going to do next? What's going to happen next? You're on draft board. You're projected to go first round in the draft. And so all of that noise started to come in. And all I would ever respond is, like, I'm not worried about that. Like, I'm trying to get back for the NCAA tournament. We ended up playing Belmont, against a former teammate of ours who transferred, Taylor Barnett. And we ended up winning that game, and then the infamous team that we couldn't get through, Michigan State. They Coach Izzo and his group, they were really prepared. I actually found out later in my career, we got to the NBA. Denzel Valentine was in Chicago, mm-hmm. and he walked past me during all of the process and being in the league and things. He said, "Yo, we used to run y'all offense every summer and play pickup running your offense so we can learn how to guard y'all," and it worked. So shout out to Coach Izzo and his staff preparing them, to figure out a way to beat us. And they did that, and hats off to them. But all I could think about was getting back for the tournament. I could have cared less about the draft. And I think that mentality is what ultimately led to me having the career that I'm having right now so far, is just be focused on the right stuff.
Let's get to the draft and kind of your professional career. It's been 10 years.
Like, yeah.
Does that incredible. Settle into you? Because it's been...
It's getting there. It's starting
it's
to.
A decade,
it's
man.
Definitely starting to. When you say a decade, it definitely hits. Yeah, it's starting to for sure. And what's crazy is my joy has grown even more for the game. This is who I am. I knew that, though. I knew that, you know, from when we were young. I got two older siblings, Arisha and EJ, who play. My pops and my mom, they... ripping and running up and down the road, paying for AE tournaments, getting 16-passenger vans. It's just in my blood. It's in my DNA. So, to be able to be at 10, my body feels it, but my mind is very sharp and willing to go out there and do more. I take it a day at a time. I take it a year at a time, and we'll see where we go. But, 10 years from college is insane. Even just driving through here, seeing some of the changes on grounds, it's like, that's what 10 years does. Trees are way bigger where they used to be very small. So, it's been pretty cool to see that.
I'm coming up on 10 years from college too. So,
so you feel
older.
It. You feel it, right?
Yeah,
feel it.
Looking at your NBA career, you know, I don't know what people would remember, but you've been on some really interesting teams.
Yeah.
You start off in Dallas, Dirk Nowitzki, kind of the back end of his career, coached by Rick Carlisle, of course, a UVA alum.
Yep.
You've also got your time with Philadelphia and, Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, J.J. Redick was on that team. I think that was the year Markelle Fultz was drafted there too.
He came in the second year.
And then the Pacers, you go back with Rick Carlisle for a little bit, and that was the year that they traded for Tyrese Haliburton, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep. And Malcolm was there.
Was there. Like, just a fascinating of those teams. What I guess let's start with being with Rick Carlisle and then seeing what that team did this year, the Pacers. What was that experience like, just kind of playing for him?
Well, let me just say, I think he's the best coach in the NBA. And I say that with a tiny bit of bias, being a UVA guy. But I've seen it. I've seen him put in the work. I've seen him put practice habits and take it to the finals this year. I've seen them trust in Tyrese Halliburton's ability to play with pace, play fast, and get up the court and move the basketball, and everybody do what you're great at and give for one another, give for your team. It's very similar to how Coach Bennett had his teams. And to get NBA players to do that when they're making hundreds of millions of dollars, especially the way that the money is moving around now, I think that in and itself is a talent, is a skill. And I think that's what puts him at the top of the league as a head coach. Shout out to Mark Daigneault and Oklahoma City Thunder for that championship. And it's not discrediting anybody in the NBA, of course. But he has a really interesting way of connecting with players and getting the best out of them as basketball players. He doesn't really worry about the other side, the at home and the things like that. But once you step into that zone, once you step into the court, he has an interesting way of getting the most of you. Starting in Dallas, yeah, man, Dirk Nowitzki, one of my favorites growing up. Dallas was my favorite team growing up. You know, because being from Virginia, we don't have a professional basketball team.
That's how
you
have to pick the Wizards. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. See, so like, I don't want to pick the Wizards. Yeah. I don't want to pick the Redskins that are practicing in Virginia but playing in Maryland. So, you know, I like the Panthers and I like the Mavericks. Mavericks growing up. So. And I like the Eagles. I'll say the Panthers and the Eagles because McNabb and T.O. But
I'm glad someone else understands because everyone gives me grief. Why don't I root for the Washington teams? But it's like, you know.
Yeah. So, like, you know, it's a different – Virginia is an interesting place, right? Outside of being for lovers, we don't have many professional sports teams to root for. So, there you go. But, yeah, playing with Dirk was amazing. Just being able to see his work ethic at 40 years old or maybe 39 when I got there is what's – is what's preparing. It's what I am preparing for now, and it's a lot easier to navigate remembering the work that he was putting in, and that relationship and that bond that happened for a reason, for this moment, and to continue to go on my journey in my career. So those two as a pair was great. Darren Williams was a veteran. JJ Barrett was a veteran of mine. Those guys really took me under their wing and boosted my confidence as a rookie because that's something that you lack. You come in at the top, and as soon as you put the jersey on in the NBA, you start at the bottom. So I had a really good time there. The business of the game, you know, trades and things happen, and I was able to go to a young and up-and-coming Philadelphia team. And my team in Dallas was very old. I was the young energy.
I was the youngest.
And that was very interesting. And I'm used to that, but at the same time, like, I wanted to go and play. So when I got traded to Philadelphia, I had an opportunity to go and play. I had my best years, I think, in Philadelphia in the NBA, playing free, being able to do what I do, being an athlete. The city, you know, kind of embraced me, wrapped their arms around me as a player, being able to play with Ben Simmons, who I still train with to this day, Embiid, who I still stay in contact with often to this day, and being able to just continue to have those relationships were awesome. But the playing times were awesome. T.J. McConnell, who's having a heck of a career right now, he was doing the same exact thing when I was there in Philadelphia. So when you see these things, playing against Timothy Luwawu, who I play against in the EuroLeague, like, everything has kind of been setting me up. Atlanta was awesome, getting to know Trey and help welcome him to the NBA. So we have a really good relationship because of those moments. And so it's cool. One day my kids will see like, oh, dad played with this person, and those guys will be Hall of Fame somewhere, respectively. But everybody else, even along the journey, from the top to bottom, just the relationships that you make and things like that. And then from a playing perspective, the NBA is very difficult. Very difficult from a skill perspective and how good you are as a basketball player, but the timing has to be great. And a lot of things have to go your way. And I'm a big advocate of, yes, it is politics, but I was also a part of politics. So I'm not going to say it in a demeaning tone. And I'm happy for everybody who gets opportunities to go and play in the association, one of the greatest leagues in the world. But I'm not a bitter person. I played 7 great years and enjoy my time, utilized the G League as well, had some great times in the G League. So, you know, my professional career has been great. Now I'm playing in Dubai, are you kidding me? Like, come on.
I was going to ask, you finished up with Barcelona. Like, obviously, that's one of the biggest brands in the world.
Yeah.
You get to play for them. But now going to Dubai, you just signed that a little while ago. What's that journey going to be like?
I'm excited. I don't really know much. I mean, it's one of those places that everybody is still kind of figuring out about.
Sure.
You know, I've heard a lot of great things. I've done a lot of ChatGPT conversations about what to expect. So that's pretty cool. You know, and so talking to the coaching staff and the GM of the team, they're very excited for me to be able to bring what I bring. And that's the same thing that I bring to this program, the passion, the ability to adapt to playing defense, being able to shoot the basketball, and being an athlete, you know, putting on a show, being above the rim and and doing those things. So that's really nice to be wanted. You know, I had some years where I had to get it out of the mud, if you will, and I had to grind. You know, being in the G League, and you know, everybody's not singing your praises. You got to pick yourself up every day, strap your boots, you go to work. And I loved those days. I loved them. It allowed me to understand what was going on around me, who was in my circle, who was behind me, and the people who kind of fade away, and the relationships that maintain throughout this whole journey. I'm very thankful for them, and I'm thankful for everybody who put me in a position. So, trying to make the most of it, and see how many more years we got left to do this.
I was going to ask, how do you envision? Yeah, I'm not telling you to put a number on it, but I remember talking to you back at an MBPA camp.
Yeah,
you were doing some coaching, and
yep.
That's something that I think you still want to do at some point, because that's kind of been in your DNA. I know you just got engaged. Like, how much are you starting to think about? You know, how much longer do I have in this path before I follow the next one?
It kind of goes along with the narrative that I've always given myself, is do your work early, right? Like, I didn't think about going to the NBA. I thought about going to UVA first. Mm-hmm. I thought about maximizing UVA. Once I got to the UVA, then the NBA came, and I figured out, how can I make the most of this? I want to live with no regrets. I don't want to be in a situation where I'm not startled, or I'm not prepared. I don't want to be unprepared. So the coaching thing is something that's on my radar. Shortly after playing, I want to go into calling the game, because I have a tremendous amount of knowledge for the game, but sometimes a lot of people maybe see how you play basketball with all of the passion, with all of the flair, and then they say, like, oh, we don't know if you'll be a coach and things like that. But then when you get on the air, you're able to talk your experience, but most importantly, be able to understand what's going on in the chess match between two great coaches when you're calling a game. And I learned that from a mentor of mine, Corey Alexander, who's a great here and a great of Virginia, who's putting on for this state as well. And I learned to kind of follow his route, and he did his work early, and luckily I have somebody like him to lean on. And then slowly but surely, I want to transition into coaching. I like the path that Coach Stu Venter from Montrose and Coach Bennett here gave me, and I mentioned Coach Carlisle already. Yeah. I have a great pedigree and a great coaching tree of coaches that I come from, and I hope to kind of expand and extend those legacies at the time, whenever the time is right. So we'll see. We'll see if it's about 4 more years, 5 more years of playing, taking it a day at a time, like I said, and try to finish this thing the right way. Hopefully I can get a trophy to hoist up.
You running the pack line? Are you going to go? Like, have you thought about that?
A little bit of everything. A little bit of concepts from everything, yeah, right? Obviously, there's a level of who you are as a young man that I learned with Stu Vetter, and how to carry yourself, and how to handle yourself in 5-star restaurants, and traveling with a suit and tie, and the importance of looking in the eye and a handshake.
Sure.
But then I come to college in Virginia, and I learn the discipline of pack line. Yeah. Everybody wants to run the pack line, but they don't understand the discipline of not leaving your feet, keeping your hands high on a contest, boxing out, things like that. And then when you go play for Coach Carlisle, it's just, you better be in shape, because we're going to run. So, you know, you take a little bit of all of those things, and you kind of put it into your identity and who I am. With the physical force and being able to have a level of toughness and being able to, you know, hopefully have players that can carry out a level of togetherness and having each other's back. So you kind of mix what they have. You give what you always know that the game always needs. And hopefully that concoction leads to success and gives me something as awesome as that.
Last two here. Looking at the way college basketball is now, and you got a chance to see this team right now, it's such a different way of team building and stuff. And you go back to think about that 2014 team that we keep talking about. That was a lot of guys built up over years. You had transfers like Anthony Gill. Mm-hmm. But, you know, what does it look like now? Like, how do you envision this game going in the future with, you know, so much turnover each season? It's basically free agency every summer.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I'm kind of still in the dark on a lot of these things, just like a lot of the fans. And everybody's kind of thirsting for what's going to happen and how it's going to affect the game. Yeah. The reality of it is that some of these guys are going to start to realize that, yeah, I have all the money in the world, but if I don't have the ability to reach my dream, I'm doing something wrong. And it's going to always be guinea pigs in everything that you do. Somebody's got to fail. Mm. There's going to be a lot of examples of players not doing the right thing. You're getting a lot of money. Maybe you're driving that new car too fast. Maybe you're, you know, spending money on, you know, something that you're not supposed to be spending money on. You're going to learn your lessons, and I think it's up to the rest of the college landscape to kind of continue to hear these stories and take them very seriously, how to conduct yourself, how to handle yourself as a young man. You kind of come into manhood a little bit earlier. A lot of these kids are taking care of their families already at 18, 19 years old. But I like it. I like the new landscape. I think it's going to push the game forward. It's going to make the game a lot more competitive. I just know that if I was on the other side of somebody who was making $4 million in college and they had to come through this place, I know that they were going to come out extremely gassed and feeling beat up. And I hope a lot of guys have that mentality, because you're not going to allow somebody, just because they're on commercials and they're making all of this money, you're not going to allow them to come and take what you're working for. And that's to be at the top of your game and hopefully help your team win championships and play as a professional athlete. That's the goal. The goal is not how much money can I accumulate in college. And I think a lot of these young guys are smart enough to understand that if I don't make it to the NBA, it was all kind of for what, you know? And so there's going to be that type of mentality. And then there's going to be mentality of, I'm going to make the most of this college stuff and go into whatever I'm going to go into afterwards. We can't relate, but you know, it's going to be a wide spectrum of different people who need different things. And hopefully the product is good. That's all that all of the fans care about.
The last thing I got, and it's because we're sitting in, you know, the Hall of Fame area here at JPJ, it's a lot of memories and stuff of, you know, past UVA basketball, but probably the hardest one yet. If you had to put together an all-time starting five for UVA basketball, who you got in that five?
Yeah. Man, this is a good one. Sean Singletary was a dog. I like Sean Singletary at the point guard position and his ability to score the basketball. Crotty was a dog. I'm gonna go Sean at my point because of how dynamic he is, quickness, scoring. I'm gonna go Joe Harris, pure shooter at the two.
There you go.
Can I play the three?
You can play. It's your
this,
five, man.
This team is going to be fun to play with, so I want to play. I'll play the three, and then I'll go Mike Scott at the four, separate space in the floor, and I'll go Ralph Sampson at the five.
You got to go Ralph.
Yeah. How about that?
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. I'm sure some people will throw some other names out there.
Of course. Of course.
Malcolm.
Of course. Of course.
Kyle, Dre. Of course. Ty.
These guys won. Are you kidding me? Yeah. It takes nothing from.
They already got something. They can't be in the five. They already won something.
They're probably going to try to call next and take two. So yeah, I know how competitive those guys are. They're some dogs.
That's good, man. Justin, appreciate you coming on the Who's On Podcast. That Absolutely. Is it for us. We will see you next time here on the Who's On Podcast. Check us out on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, wherever you find your podcast. We'll see you later.
On the field, winning comes from hard work, care, and preparation. I learned that same hard work doesn't stop when we exit the arena. Your care is our commitment, and preparation is our promise. We tackle challenges head on and turn dreams into reality, which is why I'm excited to join the team at Alcova Mortgage, where we help you score the perfect home.